Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Sports Day.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on Sports Day. It has been a busy show and we appreciate your input into it. It's time now for our favourite part of the week.
Now on Sports Day, sport and the media with AFL Records senior writer Ash Brown.
All thanks to Signet.
Power every moment with a Signet power bank. Keep your devices powered this season. Visit signet.com.
He's had a busy week, Ash Brown. The AFL Record returned to its magnificent traditional format, I guess, and he's been doing interviews left, right and centre. Heard him on Jared Waitley's show last week. Ash, thanks for stopping by as always.
Hello, Kane. Hello, Jared. Good to be here once again. Yes, good to have the Record back in the traditional format.
How'd your sales go?
I think they went pretty well. Getting a couple of grumbles because it's not in the shops anymore, but that was always a COVID step we had to take by necessity, but back to being at the grounds.
Why can't you do both?
Just a bit too difficult. I'll tell you about that off air, Jared. It's very complicated. Big crowds means big record sales, and there were huge crowds at footy the weekend, so we're very excited.
Oh, I'm looking forward to your downloads and brownlows because I've got one for you. I sent one through. I want to know if it made the cut, but where do you want to start?
Well, we'll talk about crowds. I mean, the MCG, 291,000 over four games.
Yep.
The crowds in the high 80s, as expected, for the Friday and Thursday night games, but Jared, the old demon in you, 48,000 for Melbourne Bulldogs, round one. Mm. And that's been labelled, the blame's been thrown at Melbourne supporters.
Has it? Why?
For that number. Not enough of them turning up to watch their team at their absolute peak. What do you think?
I've got no idea, to be honest. I mean, Melbourne's never been a hugely drawing crowd or team until finals time. And then there does appear to be a few leak out of the woodwork. But it's 48,000 is pretty disappointing. What was it, 55,000 last year for the flying of the flag after the premiership victory. But, yeah, that is disappointing.
TV ratings huge, Ash, as well, though. Like, well responded to, particularly Thursday night and Friday night's games. Like, broke, you know, up 20%, I think it was, year on year last year. So people clearly just craving footy. Channel 7 would have been wrapped.
Yeah, I think so. And I didn't see the Fox footy figures. I imagine they were very healthy as well. Yeah, look, it's a great TV product. And we talked about this before. I think the dearth of, you know, meaningful pre-season footy just creates that absolute hunger for the games once they come around. So, and it was a magnificently created, handcrafted first round by the AFL with great matchups.
I mean, Sunday, the first 3 or 4 weeks are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, even Hawthorn Essendon, 68,000 MCG. That game should never, ever be played at Marvel again. I mean, you have to go back to 2006 to get a crowd of less than 50,000 for a Hawthorn Essendon game. So why would you ever play it at Marvel Stadium, as I understand it? Most years it's there. It should never be there.
Don't want to pick at the wound, but what'd you make of your side's performance?
Yeah, pretty grim.
How many games are you going to win this year?
Well, if they play like that, they'll win 0 or 1. You'd still think, like, they can scrape together 4 to 6, but it was a soft performance. I mean, I just saw some figures before, and their pressure rating was their lowest since 2010.
So
if they're going to serve that sort of stuff up, they're not going to win a lot of games at all. It's very disappointing.
So earlier today, I spoke about the possibility of finishing last and getting Harley Reid, Ash. What would you rather finish, eke your way to 16th, perhaps 15th at best, and get, I don't know, pick 3, 4 in the draft and just a good player? Or would you rather finish last, despite the pain that comes with that, through 2023 and get what everyone's telling me is Dustin Martin?
Well, if he's as good as Dusty Martin, I mean, I'll have to watch the under-18s closely this year to see whether he's worth the hype. I've not, you know, I've heard it, I haven't seen it, but I've been a lot. The year Hawthorn last finished bottom was the year I was born, Kane. So I have no experience of Hawthorn, of my team finishing getting the wooden spoon. So maybe I should take my medicine after all these years.
My pet hate in viewing occurred again on the weekend, and it does occur almost every time. You sit down on Saturday night and you've got to pick. You've got to pick a game. You've got Melbourne and the Bulldogs. You've got the Suns and the Swans. Shouldn't have to pick. Not in this era.
You shouldn't.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
But, okay, and you're welcome to the conversation that Jared and I had several times last year. Where would you schedule the extra games? Give me your ideal AFL schedule. I mean, I agree with you. We've gone beyond having back games simultaneously, but how would you rejig the schedule to do it?
Well, so there has to be one every Thursday night. That's a given.
That's a given.
Friday. And then you just reschedule the Saturday. You start one earlier. You can surely fit that in. And if you need to, you play one on Monday.
No, I'm not a fan of Mondays. I think that that is extending it too long. I mean, there's a natural cycle, and I think we've realised that Mondays don't work. Thursdays do work. It may mean that there's a crossover on Sunday, but to have two crossovers is ridiculous. And that is with a capital R and a capital S on the end of it. Ridiculous.
Friday nights has been done before, and particularly if you use Perth, so you can have a minor crossover. Now that's better than having two starting at exactly the same time. Not that that was the case in round one, but it will be for the rest of the year.
Well, the crossover on Sunday is easily fixed. You just finish up with a Perth game, which comes into Melbourne starting at about 6 o'clock. At the present time, the Twilight game starts at 4:30. So there's a crossover there.
I think that happens this week, yeah.
Well, it happened on the weekend. I was doing the 4:30 game, and I didn't see the Essendon game, any part of it. So
no, there's one in Perth this week.
Oh, is that good?
It starts later into Melbourne, yeah.
Right, well, that's a solving. But the Saturday night, it's just ridiculous. And it gets worse because we're not prepared to have Thursday nights every week.
I think we will. Down 2025, I think, most Thursdays, not every Thursday. But, yeah, we've got a couple more years of this.
Big Friday night in Brisbane. You've got the Brisbane brawl, whatever they're going to go, the Battle of the Brisbane, up against the Brisbane Lions versus Melbourne.
Dolphins. Well, the Dolphins are one of the great stories in Australian sport, and Brisbane will come to a absolute standstill for that one. And the whole Wayne Bennett, you know, coaching the Dolphins against the Broncos, you know, he's the biggest figure in that club's history. And the poor old Lions down the road. This is a game that a week ago, I put in the record, the grand final preview for a lot of people, Brisbane and Melbourne. I mean, a lot of people think they're the two grand finals. That may have changed after Kane's mob.
Are you going to tip?
Melbourne, I think. I think
no one will be tipping Brisbane.
Melbourne was so impressive. I think
you're going to tip Brisbane, Kane?
No, well, the odds are
Where Brisbane did you have them in your predictions that you weren't going to predict?
Fifth or around, just out of the top four, I think.
Okay.
But Brisbane at $2, Melbourne at $1.85, so there's nothing splitting them on in the odds. And you've got to be aware of the teams who have a really loss
on
the rebound, particularly at home. Like they'll be they'll be hungry, and Melbourne's still missing a few key players. So I think this one will be a bit closer than what many are thinking.
How many travelling sides won on the weekend outside of Sydney? Is that zero? I think it was only Sydney was the only travelling side, and that includes Fremantle. Who I'm not sure who the most disappointing side were, but they were in the conversation.
There's a couple of other ones as well to be wary of. Richmond and Adelaide. Most will pick Richmond, but that's a danger game, particularly because of the travel factor in that. But, I mean, there's cracking games everywhere. Ash Eddie McGuire's had a long-held belief that the MCG should have a roof. Let's have a listen back to Stuart Fox, who joined us on Thursday when Jared asked him that question.
To build a roof over the MCG, you'd effectively need to knock the whole lot down and start again. Which
the whole stadium?
Well, a roof could not be supported by the current infrastructure. So, you know, we even have trouble putting solar panels on the current roof structure because it's not built for that purpose. So I do believe if we did an engineering report, I think we'd come up and someone would say, look, to build a roof, it could be $10 billion. You'd have to knock the place down and start again.
$10 billion.
Yeah, Eddie doesn't listen to Sports Day because
he used to.
Stuart Fox was pretty clear, wasn't he? With you guys before the footy other
night.
That
wasn't on Sports Day. That was on Friday Night Footy.
Well, there you go. Whatever it was, you don't listen to SEN enough. But But I do agree with Eddie. The MCG is not just a cricket and footy ground anymore. It's a entertainment venue that's got to cater for not just sport but also for big concerts. They've got to find a way around. I think maybe the gather round did make them. Gave them a bit less time to get the ground right, but a roof ain't going to fix it. So, Ed, you've just got to get off that high
horse. I'd still like someone to tell me about this grass. I mean, everyone just assumes that the grass was the problem, but it was slippery on the whole of the MCG, not just the grass. Now, I know Dangerfield said there was a couple of spots where there was an issue, and I accept all that, but the slipperiness was ground-wide, not just the new patch.
Do you think players don't take enough care with their choice of footwear, Jared?
Yes.
Well, I think we all agree with that. But there it should not have been that wet. Now, I'd like to know whether they sprinkled it and watered it. Is Ian Stewart still in work somewhere?
And Tony Jewell with,
and
a,
Tony Jewell.
With a can of VB.
That's right.
And the hose.
That's it.
Friday night.
Anyway, we'll see how it pulls up on, Thursday night we go back there.
Yeah, we go back there quickly, so we'll find out Thursday.
Didn't Damien Hardwick have a crack at one of the grounds for not using the anti-dew? May have been Adelaide when he was on his rant. He said that the MCG used the anti-dew spray, which makes it less slippery.
But I didn't use it on the weekend.
Other grounds haven't, so perhaps they didn't use the anti-dew on the weekend. Hey, Lordo had a crack at you last night on Footy Classified. He's read the AFL record on the weekend, the 50 movers and shapers, which is iconic, happens every year. Lordo thought there was one glaring omission.
It's actually a cook tonight for a good mate of mine, Ashley Brown for Footy Record, and that's who you produce, Hutchie. So the movers and shakers, I was so keen to read it, just to see where old Lordo could maybe fit. So let's take a look at the movers and shakers. Here was the 50, I'm thinking, oh, okay, yeah, surely I've got Swamp covered at 49 and Monique at 48 and Pakula at 47 and I even spotted Kano at 23, 26, 25, Karen. I thought, geez, I've got these ones covered. And then I thought to myself, surely... He's done well, Ash Brown, to put me in the top 10 once I got to 9. And then suddenly, Archie, we get to the top 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. And suddenly...
Nowhere to be seen.
Oh, you thought you'd be up there with Andrew Dillon.
I thought maybe around 9 or 15.
It is the list that everyone wants to be part of, Kane.
It is. He's not happy, though. How many text messages have you had from people who were dropped or not included?
I've had a couple.
Okay.
Names.
No, I'm not naming names. I had a couple of people say, oh, where am I? So, it's all...
Who was 51?
51 was... 51 Lord actually was Andrew Bassett.
Okay.
From St Kilda. Mm. And Andy Gowers at Hawthorn. I wanted to get them both in because they've sort of led to create a fundamental change at their footy clubs, but I just couldn't find room for them. Mm. They were probably the two that missed out.
I must admit, I didn't get to have a look at your list. And I'm going to have a look, and I'm going to pick some holes in it next week.
Yeah, I know. My annual grilling from you on the list, and what him and him. So I'll look for that next week. I'll come prepared, Jerry.
Because I often think you overrate journalists in this business for influence. Because they're not decision makers.
I put a couple of journalists in, but
I always put
Russell Jackson in because I think he's had a major impact on what's happened at a couple of footy clubs in the last couple of years.
Yep, that was a couple of years.
It was just St Kilda. He's done a bit with St Kilda.
I didn't
pass
see
indiscretions there, and certainly the Hawthorn
one was so influential. Yeah,
the Hawthorn one alone gets him to the top 50, I think.
Who was in the crowd for the Suns' performance on the weekend? Ash, a couple of AFL heavy hitters, was there?
Well, apparently Gil.
They were all there.
They were all there because it was Tony
Gawder was there. Yeah, Gawder was there. Tony. Gil was there, and they had to be there because it doubled up the crowd.
Also. To farewell Tony Cochran, his last official function.
It was a really sad farewell. I mentioned it last night in my opener. He deserved better than that. He's been the leader of the Suns faith up there for a long time, and for them to put in an inept performance was disappointing, to say the least. And they are under a watch, as we said earlier in the day, Kane, to see how they rebound, because you can't dish that stuff up. 2 weeks ago, they got humbled by GWS, a non-effort game. And they showed they could do it because 10 minutes after the second quarter, all the commentators saying, oh, they've been given a rocket and they've responded. And, they finished off the half actually being outscored in the second quarter. It was for a home game, it was pretty average. No, yes. It was worse than that.
There was a lot of talk, Ash, before the season that they're ready. They believed that they were a finals team. So you got the game there, which if you're a finals team, you win at home. And then it's Essendon away from home at Marvel, a ground that Essendon play really well. If you're serious about playing finals, you just win these games because the draw is going to get much harder for them.
Do you think the AFL will be worried about them? Like, seriously worried? Not to shut the door worried, but would they just look at it and say, what is going on there? Why can't they? Where's this finals appearance going to come from?
Well, they gave them $24 million last year, which was number one most funded team. So that would say to me that they're pretty concerned.
Yeah, I think the money probably is... Let's just take the money aside. Would you be worried about a club that hasn't played finals footy for how many years? 12 years. Do you think they're finals bound at the moment?
No. I had them just out of the eight this year, but they're miles off it based on what we saw.
Let's say you add effort, and they'll find their effort. I still think there's a few players short for finals.
Yeah, they're probably one or two short. The AFL spin out on the Gold Coast is that, look, the game is huge up in what the Suns have done for the
development of the game. I don't disagree with that. I've got mates who live up there in southern New South Wales. Their biggest problem is they haven't got enough grounds for the girls who want to play. It's a booming sport up there. But it will boom even more if you can get, if you can get a sexy side that wins on a regular basis. And right now, I'd like you to do this, Kane, at some stage, and maybe one of your age articles. You could go through their high-end picks and tell me who's lived up to their status.
Yep. It's a good one, because even Matthew Lloyd said on Footy Classified last night, apart from, so Took Miller's their best player, then who's next? And he said the top five of their players, like they've got some good players, like Ben King is a good player, but coming off the knee, Nora Anderson's a good player, Collins is a good player, but are they at the A-grade level? Melbourne have got 7 A-graders. I sat next to a coach on a plane home from Melbourne once, and he said to me, to win an AFL premiership, and this is a coach who has had success, he said you need 9 A-graders. So you need 9 A-graders and the role players in and around that support them.
Yep.
Find me 9 A-graders at Gold Coast. I mean, they got 1. So to your point, Jared, the quality is just probably not quite there, which is a shame considering all the picks that they've had.
Well, the only bloke at the moment that's justifying his pick is Noah Anderson. Rowell's work on the weekend was much better, so that suggests that he's hopefully going to re-find his form. Lukosius is nowhere near the ranking that he was taken at. Ben King is a watch because of the knee, but you kick 50 near on 50 goals. Well, he's going to justify that, you think? So that's a plus. So that's 2. Who's the next?
Ainsworth's a good
I like Ainsworth,
forward who can play that role. Will Power, I think he's a very good player. Once again, he snapped his leg last year. So
was he a draft pick, though, direct to them? Didn't he come via someone else?
No, I think he was one of theirs, Will Power.
They need to get Hollands and Flanders up and running.
Flanders is showing some signs, and he's overdue to show those signs. But, it's about right. If you're 3 or 4 years in, if you haven't really showed the signs now, you haven't learnt. And he's learnt, I think he needs to work a bit harder. So there's a big question mark on half a dozen players, and it's too early to, come out with outlandish statements, but they are right under the pump, and I think right under the pump internally as well.
Yep, they're under the magnifying glass here on Sports Day. Ash, what did you like this week?
Well, first thing I liked was Sam Pang on SEN Breakfast this morning.
What was harder, washing dishes in your younger days at the Spaghetti Tree? Or do you know that he used to work at the Spaghetti Tree in the city?
The educational.
Or exactly. Working as Jared Healy's producer on Sports Today. Do you know Sam was a producer for Jared Healy on Sports
Today? No, he dropped that last time he was on.
You produced for Jared, and how was that?
I didn't last long.
Why?
Just Jared didn't like me.
Why didn't he like you?
Why didn't he?
There's nothing not to like about you.
Yeah. That's a good. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that.
He's a demanding. He's a demanding host, Jared.
A tyrant. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. He runs.
So it was a mutual parting of the ways.
It was mutual. Once he told me I was sacked, I said, "Yeah, I'm happy to go." It was great.
Right of reply, Jared.
Well, that's just good comedy. That's all that is.
Also liked, but the only thing Hawthorn did right last week was a fantastic way of announcing Cam McKenzie's debut.
Well, and then there's a whole bunch of crap in French that I can't understand. So can you read that, please? You can read the whole thing out loud.
Salut Cam, j'ai entendu que tu peux parler français. Alors voici un message pour toi. Félicitations, tu vas jouer contre Essendon ce week-end.
What does that say, the French bit?
Congratulations, you are playing against Essendon this weekend.
Very hard to get creative this time of year with so many players making the debut, but the Hawks did a very good job of that. Also,
St Kilda's was great as well.
Yeah, that was really good, wasn't it?
Simon Lethley, he got up in front of the group on the back of the audio leak and said, fellas, I'm so sorry to do this, but we've had a video leak now. And so we're going to put it all out on the table. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. And it was a fake leak of an iPhone filming Ross Lyon in a selection meeting saying that Philippou had been selected to play his first game. So that was very clever, but they must be running out of ideas, these clubs. So got to get their thinking caps on. What didn't you like?
What didn't I like was the noise over the story about Stephen Sylvain not going to Carlton rooms. The guy, firstly, I know when Suss was at the Giants, he would refuse, and Jack would just break into the Carlton side. He wouldn't go in the Carlton rooms then because he's got this belief, I work for another footy club, so I'm not going to be going to the rooms of an opposition club. When he's a list manager and supposedly into deconing, what's he going to be? He can't go in the Carlton rooms.
Oh, I think he could.
I thought the story was a bit of a you work for a footy club and it wasn't like he wasn't at the game.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with him not going. That was his call. But if he wanted to go, he could.
Yeah, and you can take the photo outside the rooms. I mean, I just thought it was a bit of a beat up.
The story was worth reporting, though, don't you think? Like, put your journalist hat on. It was a story. I mean, the story's lasted for 2 days, at least 3 days. It's still talking about it.
Yeah, I guess the story, but I just thought. Yeah, again, maybe because I've spoken to Soss about it in the past and know his thinking, knowing what he thinks about all this, that I thought it was a bit of a non-story, but I might be in the wrong with that one.
It is time now for this.
Now on Sports Day, it's time for the all-powerful, all-conquering Shastri Files.
Is that fair?
That's bullshit.
Okay, here we go. I put you up, put up a nomination.
I have accepted your nomination this run. It was Paddy Sweeney writing in The Age on Thursday morning saying it's time to play two other teams apart from Richmond Carlton as the opening game of the season. I think there are 88,000 reasons why that was a Shastri, Jared.
Well, I think it was a Shastri for sure. As soon as I read it, I actually called it something else beginning with SH, but Shastri will do.
Yeah,
I have questioned it in the past.
Yeah, well, but you've learned. You've elevated yourself.
Yeah, I must admit, I got to Thursday morning and we did the show and Jared was the MCG. I thought, this is perfect. Like, these are the two teams that you would want. And then the game wasn't great, but the occasion was. So they probably, like other teams, own a certain round. These two teams will own this for a long time. I think the AFL nailed the first round. Ash, awesome stuff from you as always. Thanks for stopping by. We'll do it all again next week.
Look forward to it.